listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Motherfucker, say that I'm foolish. I only talk about jewels. Do you fools listen to music or do you just skim through it? See, I'm influenced by the ghetto you ruined. The same dudes you gave nothing. I made something doing what I do through and through. And I gave you the news with a twist. It's just his ghetto point of view. The renegade, you've been afraid. I penetrate pop culture, bring them a lot closer to the block where they pop toasters, where they live with their moms got drop roasters. From botched robberies, niggas crotched over, niggas knocked up cause she wasn't watched over, knocked down by some clown with child support knock. No, he not around. Now how that sound to you, jot it down. I bring it through your ghetto without riding round, hiding down, ducking strays from frustrated youth stuck in their ways. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast with your host Rod and
Karen.
We're live on a Tuesday. Ready to do some podcasting. You guys know how it is. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. Appreciate everybody takes the time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the Taser,
an unofficial sport.
What about
a Bullet Ball Extreme? And we don't have a sponsor today, but let me just tell you guys, tomorrow and the day after, TeePublic is having a sale where you get like so like if a shirt is normally $20, you get like $6 off of that, whatever that percentage is, on everything. And I'm talking like TeePublic doesn't just sell shirts.
Mm-mm, they sell everything, types of stuff.
We have a store on TeePublic. You can go to teepublic.com, put in TBGWT, our store will come up, and there's so many new cool designs in there.
It is.
I think you guys will enjoy rocking them. I always encourage you to get it while it's on sale.
Yes, sir.
Because it's the easiest way to get it. And you can go to theblackguywhotips.com, and right there on the first page is a post that it will lead you to our TeePublic store. The link is in the actual like post, not the picture, but I will actually fix that so there's the picture as well. Yeah. After I do this show,
because I clicked on it and I didn't know. And just to let y'all know, when he says on sale, everything's on sale, because some people might like, well, I want a t-shirt, but like I might want like a softer material. Even the softer material is on sale.
Every kind of thing they got is on sale. Wall hangings, pillows, hoodies. It's cold, you know, you might want to throw a hoodie on.
Sweatshirts,
don't get caught out here, you know, looking all off key because it's a little cold on you. So yeah, they got everything. So make sure you guys check all that out, tpublic.com. and like I said, you can just put in TBGWT in the space in the search and it'll bring up all our designs. And we have so many designs. I don't know if people are even up on all the designs that we have had.
Right?
Oh, there's just so much stuff.
And very, very talented people. Some people have sent us the designs. We've paid them for, and they're up on there on the site too.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get into the news. Nobody's really talking about it, but 21 Savage has been released on bond by ICE.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, of course it is. 21 Savage, a 26-year-old Atlanta-based rapper, born Shia bin Abraham Joseph, who has been taken into custody by ICE February 3rd, has been released on bond, according to a statement from his lawyers.
At least he got that. Some people don't get that. Some people just get thrown in there forever and ever.
Yep, his lawyers, Alex Spiro, Dina Lapote, and Charles H. Cuck, which I don't know
what
about
a name.
That. Chuck the Cuck. I know he had a hard time in
as a kid,
law school and shit.
Woo, you know, it was jokes for days.
In the last 24 hours, the statement reads, we received notice that Shia was granted an expedited hearing. He won his freedom. In a statement to CNN that confirmed he has been detained, ICE said Mr. Abraham Joseph has been placed into the removal proceedings before the federal immigration courts. The news came as a surprise to those familiar with the rapper's career, widely seen as inextricable from the Atlanta rap scene where he first found fame. Yeah, it's so weird how people talk about that, because like apparently he moved here supposedly when he was like 13 or so, and those are like some formative years in a childhood.
Yes, it is.
I can see how how 10 years later you sound like you from Atlanta, because you essentially are.
Yeah, as you was concerned, the 12, 13, 14, that's about the years where you kind of find your identity, and he found his identity. So as far as he's concerned, this is who he is.
Yeah, people that like have you know, like people move to New York and get a New York accent, you know, people move to the UK and get a English accent. Like I don't know, it isn't that, I don't know, people, I think it was just more like the humor of it was really what people was talking about.
Yes, more than anything, you know. And for me, most of my life is here. I was born in New York, but I have nothing in common with New York other than I was born there, actually, you know, because right. All my life I'm down here. All my family from up there come down here and they call me country just like they call everybody else country. You know, you hear me, you would just assume I was born and raised here.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know you're a goddamn Yankee.
Yeah,
a carpetbagger coming down here for the War of Northern Aggression.
I was one of them free Negroes.
Yeah, so he, there was a rally held on his behalf, and also of several other people that were mentioned that, you know, it was like, it's the thing with celebrity that is at one, it's perplexing, and at other ends, it's just kind of the way things are, because people say stuff like, oh, y'all didn't care till it happened to a celebrity, but that's kind of the fucking point.
Come on.
You know, it's like, unfortunately, because of the way people worship celebrity, by something happening to a celebrity, it becomes universal, because people go, oh, that could have been me, that happens to everybody, oh, there's a lot more people this is happening to, money doesn't insulate people from this. You know, even if it's a person that has money and privilege and shit, people are still gonna be like, well, if it can happen to them, what, who else is it happening to?
Right.
The other thing is that person has more reach, more fans, more followers, stuff like this, and so these are more people that become activated off of stuff like this, and now it's a cause for them as well. That doesn't just end with him being released. For some people, some people are gonna be like, well, no, I'm now hip to this world, to this thing that I was not paying attention to. And I think that can only really be a good thing. I don't know that the celebrities might not be the perfect activist or spokesperson, but nobody's a perfect activist or spokesperson. And the same way that like Meek Mill, everybody was like free Meek, and then Meek got out and started talking about weaves and shit. It just happens where, you know, hey, he might not be perfect, but that doesn't mean that people should not want prisons reform or sentence reform, or to look at over sentencing and stuff like that, just because, hey, Meek's out now, you know, we're done, or he said something stupid on Twitter, so fuck that whole movement. Like I think a lot of good stuff can still happen from, you know, stuff happening with these celebrities, and I hope that's what happens from this.
Same.
So yeah, yeah, and then people were saying like nobody brought it up during the Grammys last night, really, which was interesting, because some people even had collaborations with them. There was an effort to get artists to perform their verses for 21 Savage or something like that, for songs they had together, stuff. And I guess nobody really took them up on it, which I, to be fair, I don't know the complete way that works with the Grammys, because from what I've seen with the Ariana Grande shit and the Nicki Minaj shit, it's very controlled. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you can get up there and be like, I'm gonna ad lib something without consequences. Not saying,
right.
I mean, it's basically live. It's not really live, but it's basically live, because we saw they cut off Drake when he went off script. So it's not really live, because they can clearly be like, cut this nigga's mic off. But it is interesting to see that. They also, though, in all fairness, did not salute XXXTentacion in any of the memorials or any of that stuff for like artists who died last year.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was because he was abusive, so you know, they're taking some stands on some shit, for good and bad, depending on how you feel about these issues.
Correct.
So anyway, glad he's out. I don't know what this means for him next, because it's just out on bond. Because he's not a flight risk, he never should have been locked up.
Correct.
I mean, what the fuck, he gonna, y'all want him to leave the country, what the fuck? it didn't make sense. You know where he gonna be at his next concert, like,
right?
it never made sense to put him in jail. And he had already has tried to start proceedings like years ago with this shit. It's just kind of ridiculous. Speaking of famous rappers, Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Okay, I remember that name. Ain't that what the one with the tattoo 6ix9ine on the side of his forehead?
Yeah, the one in prison.
Okay, yes.
The one that just got sentenced.
Mm-hmm, the one that was snitching.
Tekashi Snitch 9 mm-hmm. says he won't be getting paid after starring in an anti-abuse commercial for a New York sex shop. Now, the irony of this being, Tekashi 6ix9ine has his own domestic abuse and sexual abuse allegations against him. You know, so
yeah, that's why he in jail, right?
Unless the ad is Spider-Man coming out and pointing at Spider-Man, and they take off their mask and they both him. What the fuck is the ad for? Why did y'all even want him in the ad? I guess I had to see the ad. I mean, is he admitting the stuff? Is he saying don't be like me or? Because that's kind of odd.
Don't get locked up, kids. I don't know.
Right? You gonna put Lindsay Lohan in a don't do cocaine ad? Like, what the fuck? As part of an anti-domestic abuse campaign, the Brooklyn rapper made a deal with a hometown sex shop to appear in several videos that were aired at the shop's various locations around the city. The rapper's intentions were to promote domestic violence awareness on behalf of the shop, Romantic Depot. Well, you know, maybe he misunderstood. He's like, yes, I want people to be aware of domestic violence. They're not doing it enough.
Ah,
be like me, kids.
No, don't be like me.
The blast reports Romantic Depot CEO Glenn explained 6ix9ine stopped by the store and expressed his interest in working with the store to promote the campaign. Glenn said the rapper was very humble when he came in and gave them full support. In exchange, Glenn says the rapper wanted nothing in return and gave Glenn full permission to use his likeness. Glenn says Tekashi was excited to be part of the battle against domestic abuse. Now, maybe, is he doing this for, like, character, like his sentencing guidelines? I don't understand
why
this news is even coming out
now.
Unless this dude was supposed to pay him and then decided, fuck him, what he gonna do? He in jail. He said he doing it for free. We had a handshake agreement, free. I don't get it. In a commercial, you can see him discussing the mistakes he's made in his life. When I was young, I used to make a lot of stupid mistakes, but I'm ready to learn more, he said in the commercial. While the store did, I mean, that is what we want from people. Let me be fair. While the store did air the commercial for a brief running, Glenn says customers did voice their opposition to having him speak on the fight against domestic abuse, mentioning the 22-year-old's own domestic abuse allegations. However, Glenn says most of the reactions were positive. I mean, is that not valid to say, hey, I might not want this dude telling me about domestic violence? I don't know. I can kind of see how people feel like, while I'm looking for sex toys and lingerie or
come on
wherever else y'all sell at Romantic Depot, I might not want somebody who's been accused of having sex with an underage girl.
Mm-mm.
So I'm gonna have to say fail on everybody. Sometimes you have to tell people no. You can't tie this to my brand.
I'm about to say no.
Yeah, we try to do romance here, not what you do. And I know you're famous, but no, I just can't do it.
Mm-mm.
Speaking of famous people, remember Chris Brown versus Offset?
Yes.
And he posted this address on social media.
Mm-hmm. I remember you telling me that, yes.
Well, the police showed up at his address for a welfare check. This is the best, because it's literally the, like, joke and the meme come to life of, are you okay? Like, you are acting a little too wild on social media. Like, I could actually, you know, like, if maybe there's more people that need to have wellness checks put on them. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
People be wilding sometimes. Maybe not the cops, but someone should knock on their door like, hey, I see what you're posting on the internet. Is everything okay?
Are you okay?
Addresses, you want people to fight you, you want the hands.
Come on.
Are you okay? Okay? Like, you're going back and forth, you're acting up for Twitter, Instagram, whatever, for likes and retweets. You really seem disturbed. This has really got to you in a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they should have just showed up and said, are you okay, as soon as he got mad about Offset telling him that the jokes wasn't funny. He should have been like, excuse me, 911, are you okay? We just want to check on you, Chris Brown, because we don't want to have to come by here later, because you know how you get down.
Yeah, normal, like you said, normal people need that too.
His security confirmed that the singer was fine and that he had no issues with Offset. Yeah, this is also cool too, because, you know, the it's always when people wait till after the fact that somebody done got shot or some shit, and then they be like, someone should have stepped in. They need to chill out. It's not that serious. I like how the cops came over and was like, it's not that serious.
Mm-mm.
Just let Chris know that we're not with the shits. Just in case. Yeah,
just in case. We don't want to have to come pick up a dead body.
Yeah. You know how you get. Okay. We wouldn't come by if this is somebody else's house.
We put like this. We go ahead and do it now so we don't have to do the paperwork later.
We wouldn't want this. If it was somebody else's house, we might let it slide. But nigga, you know who you are. Okay. We don't want you calling us again. Cardi B deactivates her Instagram account following the Grammy win.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the Barbs, cause, they fave what didn't go. She wasn't nominated for nothing. Cardi won like one of the biggest awards, and you know, I know they lit her up.
Yeah, I'll actually take it even further though, Karen. It ain't just the Barbs. It ain't just them. It's a lot of people that, you know, didn't want her to win the album of the year or the hip hop album of the year over Mac Miller? No, who was the dude that died that used to date Ariana Grande?
I think that's right.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't want him to win over him. Then of course there's all the people that suddenly become hip hop fucking purists when it comes to the Grammys and decide that she didn't have the best album of the year despite breaking every sales record.
Come on.
Like, she broke all the sales records. She broke Beyonce's sales record.
Yes, she did.
Like, with singles in the top 10 and shit like that. She broke that. Every single on the album sold over, song on the album sold over like 500,000 or some crazy shit like that. She broke all the records. This is the same argument we used when it was Beyonce and she lost to Adele, and when Kendrick lost to fucking Macklemore. People was bringing up them sales numbers and shit, tour numbers, all that stuff. So why do we move the goalpost when it's Cardi?
Right. So now the numbers don't mean nothing. Get the fuck out of here.
Right. Cause she not your fave. Somehow the whole goalpost got to get moved to the other side of the field because she don't deserve. Now you got to be the hip hop of this happening, hip hopping ass nigga to win. But y'all also be going, can we say that Kendrick isn't the best every other year? You know, can we finally admit that Kendrick isn't that good? It's like, well, y'all say that with Kendrick, but then when he don't win, y'all get mad that night. He got, you know, it's like, what do y'all want? You know, but more importantly to me, what this signifies, it's something that we talk about a lot on here. Cardi came up through social media.
Mm-hmm.
Cardi is in tune with social media. She's in tune with her fans in a way that most other performers are not.
Mm-mm.
You know, much as people love and stand for Beyonce, Beyonce don't be reading y'all niggas comments. She don't.
Nope.
Beyonce probably don't even got Instagram on her phone. She probably got a team of people that release the photos she wants on it. Like, I approve these photos, release them to the gram
at 3 a.m. in the morning. Right.
So Cardi wins, and then you see like you said the Nicki Minaj people, the Ariana Grande, the Mac Miller people, the everybody she beat, you know. And what it reminded me of so much, and I don't know if there's a word for it, I haven't read anything on it, it's just a feeling I have, but it's really when you accomplish something or when you're at your highest high that's when motherfuckers start acting out.
Of course, because the thing is, everybody loves the underdog. Once the underdog is no longer an underdog, all of a sudden you're the fucking problem, you're the establishment. You know, you've became this, and people, not only do they do this, but they do it with everything. They do it fucking sports. You know, you have a team, they constantly lose, all of a sudden they win, and they win every year, all of a sudden, I'm tired of them winning. Why the same team keep going up there? Because they're fucking excellent now, and now they're a problem because they're excellent.
Yeah, and I want people to think about this for a second though, because now I see people that empathize with Cardi being like, yeah, I hate that she deleted her account. I hate that people keep fucking with her. Why can't they just let her chill? She won. it was a great night for her and y'all trying to ruin it. Okay, let's go on a little trip though. How many of y'all did the same fucking thing to Macklemore? Best night of his career too, right? Best night of his life. That empathy wasn't there for that shit.
No, it was not.
It wasn't none of that shit. You know, even when it's Beck, even when it's Adele, it was shade and slander and all up on their social medias, and you know, to the point where fucking Adele had to almost like broke the fucking Grammy and was like, can you take some, Beyonce? I'm sorry.
Can I split this? Can I give you 75? I take 25. I mean, shit, I just, you know what? Here, just have it. That's what she was short of doing, because it's one of them things where, yeah, and I know for me, I'm not even gonna lie. When it was back, I was upset. I was highly upset. I was like, who? What? Who is he? I was coming from that perspective. Never heard of you. So yes, I was in that group. I'm not gonna lie.
Right. It's just something to think about, because every year somebody gonna win.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about, you know, what white people think anyway. And every year people turn on otherwise hardworking, many times good artists.
Correct.
In the wake of that shit, you know? I know when Beck won, I was like, man, I went and listened to his album, was like, fuck that shit. And you know, and then what's funny is I listened to it and I said, it's a good album, but I just don't see how I beat fucking Beyonce. I just don't understand, like, sales records, all the things that matter to pop culture and what white people declare is fucking so important. And it goes to Beck. You know, I think they said Prince never won an album of the year.
Mm-mm.
So like, their opinions are only so important. And I didn't watch, cause I stand with Cap, unlike the rest of you coons. But, but the point being, like, Cardi having this moment where it's the highest of highs of her career, and then immediately being drugged down by the negativity of social media, that shit speaks volumes.
Yes, it does.
Cause you would think that's the time where you feel the most insulated. You would think that's the time where you feel the most supported. You would think that's the time where your fans are most rejoicing. But, and I'm not saying that's not happening, but what I am saying is your detractors are also just as fucking virulent, if not more.
Right.
And that's what gets through sometimes to creative people. It's really one of the things I had to learn myself and fight for. I mean, just last year when we did the live show, that's a big milestone for us. And then you got people talking shit, and it's like, do I give them the time of day and stop to be like, hey, I see what the fuck you're talking about, fuck you, blah, blah, blah? Or do, cause to me, that's what they want.
Right.
Cause now I'm not focused on all this happiness and goodness and this joy and this bubble of positive energy and these people that are like, this was so fun, we had such a great experience. But at that same time, and I don't think it's a coincidence, like at the end of last year, there were several people that had seemed to be cool and then just suddenly fucking had issues with us out of nowhere. And now we gotta go. We either canceled or we whack or we whatever the fuck. We're not good no more. And I really do believe that's cause motherfuckers are seeing us places. They're like, oh, LinkedIn, what's this? Oh, look at all these pictures at this event and all these people that had so much fun and they're spreading the word and they're like, we have fun. And it's not even really about us at that point.
Mm-mm.
That's just motherfuckers hanging out with each other.
Right.
It's not like we hung out or nothing in the city.
Mm-mm.
Like that was just people coming here and being like, yo, we're making these connections from online to real life.
Right.
And
that's what it's about.
Right. And we could have been so caught up in that shit, you know. Y'all jealous, y'all haters, y'all this, y'all that. Not, you won't see them coming out of my mouth, because straight up, I think that's what people want. And sadly, it's sad, but in a way it's kind of good, because Cardi is also showing the example of what a lot of people have to do. She just unplugged it.
You have to sometimes. You literally have to unplug. And guess what? When you unplug, I don't mean to sound condescending, but when you unplug, it's a whole fucking world outside of the internet, y'all. I don't know if some of y'all realize that or not. Once you unplug, you be like, oh, that shit ain't that fucking important. Oh, don't nobody know who the fuck I'm talking about if I'm talking about at such. My family, my friends, the people, they don't know who the fuck these people is.
Right. That was one of the humbling things. Try explaining one of these online issues to somebody offline. It's so good.
That's when you realize this shit ain't that big and people are like, who the fuck is that? No, I don't know who this is. Why is it that important? And when you begin to tell them about some of the things that happen online, people that are not connected, they'll be like, that shit is dumb.
And that's really why I have people walking around talking about their haters and all this shit. Like, real talk, man, I don't really have no haters because you don't know me enough to hate me.
Come on.
You gotta know somebody to hate them. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta have something to really hate somebody. You can't really hate somebody you don't fucking know. So, but what I think is interesting though with all that is, like I said, you talk to somebody offline about this problem and then you just realize how tedious it is.
Right.
Yeah, it's this person and they did this and this in this group and they said that and this person followed me and then they said this and then it retweeted and it's like, I sound like a fucking high schooler. You know what? Let me just shut the fuck up and enjoy my day out. You know?
Right. And for me, I've said this before and I will continue to say this again. I completely understand why some celebrities get to the point where they don't have any social media at all, or when they do post, they post in pics of their feet. They posing pics of them traveling. They're posing pics of them going places. They're posed, like, I completely, completely understand. When I took the trip to Jamaica, and it was literally a week of literally just being separated, I was like, oh, this is what the life is like, just to be like, hey, I'ma do me. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying it. And I didn't give a fuck about what's happening online. You separate from social media, and people that are constantly in it think it's the most fucking important thing in the world. Every post on Facebook is life or death. Every Twitter retweet, it's life. It's not, y'all. It is not
but,
life and
but
death.
You know what's interesting though, because that's a vacation. That's not the same to me. Like,
correct.
That's you unplugging. People do that all the time, but to unplug as life. Cause she makes a living via the social media shit.
Correct.
Like, it ain't just some shit she does as a hobby or on the side. Like, if it wasn't, if she didn't have Instagram, she wouldn't be Cardi B. You know, for everything people love or hate about her.
Right.
So her turning off this is like turning off a source of attention and income and all the things that matter to her. But I think it's still it's a much more valuable lesson in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's not recreational for her. She turned it off to say, hey, it can be bad for your mental health, and sometimes you have to walk away from the shit. She'll probably be back too long, you know. Even if she never came back, I would understand. But the point being, she'll probably be back, but sometimes you have to step away.
Yes.
You know, because I think part of the thing in a lot of people's minds is, I can't step away. I can never step away. It's like I'm admitting I'm weak. It's like I'm admitting something's wrong with me. It's like I'm letting them win. And all these things is not really true. It's in your head. And her stepping away, even as Cardi B, on the day after the highest reach, it speaks volumes about how the place can be so toxic and so negative that something positive happens in your life and somebody's out there, the same people that follow her, the same people that claim to want to see her win or that be on all her pages that sharing everything and talking about her, are the same people that were like, she shouldn't have won over so and so. I mean, I like her, but she can't rap. I mean, she didn't work hard, and she was like, had a video where she talked about how hard she worked on her music and she couldn't sleep in her own bed and she was pregnant and everybody told her that getting pregnant was gonna ruin her career. Mm-hmm. And all this stuff. And y'all want to know who I thought about? You know who I thought about right then? And this ain't even a joke. Lauryn Hill.
Come on.
What did Lauryn Hill tell y'all? What did Lauryn Hill tell motherfuckers?
Years ago. She had a whole fucking song about it.
The same goddamn thing. She said the same fucking thing. Like, these motherfuckers will ruin your life. Have you chasing fame and shit, and it don't even fucking matter. Like, they care about themselves first, not about your mental happiness, not about your family. All the things that you want in life that for yourself is shit that's just in the way to them, you know. And then with Cardi being so like publicly back with Offset kissing and shit at the Grammys, you got all the people that, you know, due to her making her relationship public and being so public with it and making her divorce kind of public, not kind of making it public. Well, yeah, now everybody is invested. Now they feel like they get to tell you, you don't get to be with your husband. They get to tell you over and over again through social media, your husband ain't shit. Despite you saying, hey, can y'all chill out? That's not how it works. Once they're in, they're never out. So yeah, all that shit came crashing down on her, and I don't blame her for deleting that shit, but yeah, man, it's like Miss Hill said, she tried to tell these motherfuckers and everybody had laughs and jokes, but she was 100% right. I think that's what Cardi going through right now.
Agreed. And also I think for me that the unplugging thing is actually healthy to unplug. Like you say, she'll be back because most people come back. But you know, a lot of times when you come back, depending on what's happening, you actually view and look at social media very different. People that never unplug, a lot of times they don't have that separation to actually think about and analyze social media and how it's affecting them, because the truth is all of social media, and including myself, is designed as an addiction. It's designed as an addiction. It's designed to constantly keep you on, constantly, you know, have you looking for stuff to respond to and shit like that.
Yeah, she was about to cry on this video, man, that she had posted on Instagram.
It's not my style for people to put other people down to uplift somebody else. That's not my style, and that's not what I'm with, and I don't support that. However, I've been taking a lot of shit today. I'm seeing a lot of bullshit today, and I saw a lot of shit last night, and I'm sick of this shit. I worked hard for my motherfucking album. I remember last year when I didn't want for Bodak Yellow, everybody was like, Cardi got snubbed, Cardi would have got snubbed. Now this year's a fucking problem. My album went 2-time platinum, my nigga. And every chart that there was, my album was always top 10. Number one album as well. I fucking worked my ass off, locked myself in the studio for 3 months, my nigga. Didn't went to sleep in my own bed, sometimes for 4 days straight. Pregnant. Some songs couldn't even get on the fucking album because my nose was so fucking stuffy from my pregnancy. Niggas couldn't sleep. Niggas couldn't do shit. While everybody was harassing me like, you're not gonna do it. We know you pregnant. Your career is over. That shit dwelling in my fucking mind while I'm working.
And so the same people that supported her through all that are now gonna clown her for being emotional about the fact that she was attacked and trolled online and shit. It's so funny. And the main part of this that always resonates with me, most people that are on the like, it's nothing, just get over it, girl, don't say nothing, have never been under the microscope like that. Never.
I will constantly say that people that feel like it's all right to harass people like this have never experienced it. Never.
Not even just, I'm not talking about just the harassers, Karen. I'm talking about the people who watch it and the bystanders, the people that are like, cause I'm not saying you need to get involved in this shit. Obviously I would never, but I'm saying for the people that are on some like, look at her looking stupid, or, oh, you letting them get to you. Psh, cause you human. You're just being famous is not an insulation against being human. Being rich is not an insulation against being human. None of this shit is being talented. How many rich, talented, famous people have fucking killed themselves?
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? It's not just that. You're exposed to all this unwashed humanity coming at you day in, day out, that are just projecting on you, that are, you gotta make the right decision with your husband because they didn't. Or you gotta make the right, you gotta get back with your husband because they did. Or you gotta not have a baby because having a baby fucked up their career. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's everybody projecting on you what you wanna be and what you should be for them. And that same authenticity that made people love her is the same reason they end up, you know, shading her and shitting on her, because, hey, here she is being authentically angry in front of us. And now it's time to clown. Any other time it's like, you know, an angry black woman, what's wrong with that? Not to mention the people that tried to revoke her blackness under the name of defending Nikki somehow, which if y'all do the math on that, because Nikki got some Asian roots too, and it was so stupid, man. But also all because somebody got some attention from some white people at the Grammys, and motherfuckers like, how do we tear this black woman down?
Yeah, and you know what, all that stuff from fucking white supremacy,
right? You know, literally feels like it can only be one when it comes to them awards, because that's how they make it. But them awards don't determine nothing. And when Drake tried to tell everybody that, they cut the shit off and put it on commercials.
Right, because they were like, no, we can't tell people the truth. No, we can't have them learning that the Matrix is real. Cut it off.
All right. A Michigan man dies after falling into a tank of sulfuric acid in South Lyon.
What?
Charlie Langton was able to confirm that a man who fell into a tank of sulfuric acid in South Lyon has died.
Where is this at? Lyon, and where? What country?
Here in the United States.
Lyon, what state? You said Lion. I'm
Michigan.
Like, so is Lion Michigan?
L-Y-O-N. South Lion.
Okay.
I guess. South Lion police said they are actively investigating and have contacted the U.S. Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, to look into the incident.
Do they have enough people? Do they have enough funding?
The incident happened at Michigan Seamless Tube on McMahon Street, south of 10 Mile Road, where the sulfuric acid used in the manufacturing process has a temperature of at least 160 degrees. Shit. You fell in that
shit.
That
was an instant death.
Oh, yeah. That, I mean, actually, I don't know.
There was nothing left of him. Like, literally, that probably just melted him away, bones and all.
I don't know if it works like TV.
Oh, okay. You say acid, I think, and you just melt like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Yeah, you may have watched too much TV.
All right. The company will admit that, yes.
The company has a sign out front that says, "Fooling around on the job is a job for fools."
Fact.
Damn.
Particularly in the industry like that, fact.
He died from his injuries. It's unknown how he fell in or how long he was in the tank before he was pulled out by a coworker and quickly washed off. We do know he's rushed to University of Michigan Hospital just before 12:30 p.m. Saturday.
Oh, so there was some of him left, apparently.
Yeah, I told you that's not like TV. It's not how fast acid doesn't work that fast.
TV, you lied to me. Why?
Yeah. Well, I guess he had quite the acid trip.
I hope he didn't have his acid wash jeans on.
I don't know how the company's gonna afford this. They'll probably have to dissolve.
That was good.
All right. Let's see what other news we have here. What my time looking like? All right. Let's do some LGBTQ news, guys. How about that?
This question, you have the answer. So tell me what I want to know. Do you want to funk? Do you want to funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you want to funk, let me show you how. Do you want to funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
All right, let's do it. LGBTQ news. Canada's Supreme Court rules LGBT rights come before your religious beliefs. Come through, Canada. Why can't we be like y'all? Why is it so goddamn hard? We got motherfuckers in America talking about freedom of religion means discriminating against LGBT people. And Canada is up there like, hold your brakes, buddy. That is not true. Canada's top court has ruled in favor of denying accreditation to a Christian law school that banned students from having gay sex. Friday's ruling against Trinity Western University in British Columbia was closely watched by both religious freedom and gay rights advocates. The university made students promise not to have extramarital or gay sex.
That ain't happening.
Have you met humans?
Right.
The Supreme Court found that protecting LGBT students from discrimination trumped religious freedom. The Evangelical University finalized its proposal for a law school in 2012 and applied for accreditation in every province so that its students could be called to the bar anywhere in Canada. I don't want none of these niggas being my lawyer anyway. I don't know what kind of shit they gonna be into. Mm-mm. Ontario, British Columbia, and Nova Scotia law societies denied the school accreditation on the grounds that it required all students to sign a covenant binding them to a code of conduct that bans sex outside the confines of heterosexual marriage. Good. Study says white gay men consistently vote against the LGBT agenda.
Hmm.
You don't say. What? I am shocked. So you telling me white privilege is so good that it can make somebody vote against their own interest of their entire group?
Mm-hmm.
Like with women?
Come on. And then they get mad when people be like, yeah, this shit is racist.
Like white broke people? And now white gay men. I feel like I could have wrote this article. Who did the research?
Right.
A gay historian has revealed that in major Western countries, gay men were more likely to vote for right-wing parties. What other sites have refused to acknowledge that these gay men are usually also white. Yeah, they do always try to be like, it's just men.
Mm-mm.
Like, take out the black and brown people and let's see. Oh, wait a minute, it's white men again. God, started.
Yeah, because most of the time, we're a small percentage of these numbers. Yeah, we know this.
It's like when they say, like, 60% of women went for Hillary. It's like, let's break them down a little further. No, we have all we need. The most women voted for Hillary, and that's really what matters. Now, let's talk about the numbers. Let's see the groups.
Right.
Let's see. What is this? What is this 53% number right here? What does this mean? what group is that?
They don't want to break their numbers down because that's when you get real facts.
Black and brown, gay, lesbian, and trans citizens of countries almost always vote in the best interest of minorities, including the LGBT community.
No shit.
This is another reason, like, I don't mean to be mean, dog, but this is why you have to be careful with social media, because motherfuckers out here act like they speaking for entire groups and shit, and that's just their fucking opinion.
Correct.
Because when it come down to voting, the votes don't fucking lie. Nobody out here is just like, it's not just a whole bunch of trans people sitting around like, fuck it, man, whatever happened to us happened.
Right. Come on now.
Like, obviously they read the same fucking paper we read. They see fucking Trump. They see these Republicans out here. Like, they are on their necks.
Right. They see these fucked up laws they pass and stripping them of their rights.
Come on now. Don't be dumb. Samuel Haneke of Stanford University looked at voting data from 14 elections in 5 Western countries, US, UK, France, Germany, and Brazil. He found that in the US, LGBTI people overwhelmingly supported the Democratic Party, but gay men were more likely than the general electorate to support conservatives or far right party in other Western countries. Cause the white ones, right?
Right. Can they benefit?
Yeah. Cause see, the thing is, you can't always readily tell somebody is gay.
Correct.
And so until I tell you that or I expose myself somehow, I still benefit from all the white male patriarchy that cishet white men get until I denote myself as different. Like, they're not gonna give me the job. They don't know. So one of the other things that's interesting here too, of course black and brown LGBT people vote in the best interest of all other marginalized people. Everybody closest to the fucking front line of the battle is going to also be kind of pushing it for everybody. It's the same reason that black women are more militant than black men when it comes to our, like, it's not,
come on,
like I'm not demeaning anybody, but it's not fucking rocket science. It's not that people are better people because they're marginalized. It's not like marginalized people are like, I'm just gonna be I want to walk into the world and everyone love me. And it's like, I need to survive. And unlike the rest of you motherfuckers, I can't just hide behind shit the way you do. So I need to be one of the most militant motherfuckers.
Come on, the most. If you hear anybody's voice, you hear my voice. And telling me to shut up ain't gonna stop me from talking. I've been told to shut up my whole goddamn life. Right. And you ain't shut me up now, I be goddamn, you know, that, like, it's, and it's one of those things too, to where, particularly when you said black women, the thing about black women is that we can't hide behind misogyny. We can't hide behind the fact that I have a penis to opt out and be like, you know what? I don't feel like pushing forward.
You're right. Some people in the group will, because that's how supremacy works.
Correct.
But the point being, like, when you look at Black Lives Matter and you see that, the women that started the BLM, like, organization are all LGBT women that are, all queer women that are black and brown. Many of the other leaders, quote unquote, you know, y'all feel how you feel about that term. Let's just say notable names, because I don't know how people feel about the term leader. Many of the other notable names of many activists, women, black, brown, LGBT, many of them, you know, like this wave, because I'm on the front fucking line. I gotta be.
Yeah, it's, you know what I mean? Death for me, dog.
Like, I gotta be. I don't have this fucking privilege of being on some, like, I will see, or this, it wasn't good enough for me, so I no. Like, this shit is crazy. So anyway, I'm not surprised that white men are the main ones to be like, yeah, but I'm gonna just go ahead and see how this works out.
Yeah, I'm gonna ride on this whiteness.
Yeah, even if I'm gay, like, I'm gonna go ahead and ride on this. I'm sure, you know, we hear stories of racial tension in the LGBT community all the time. Mm-hmm. So North Carolina Catholic school cancels Black History event due to a protest of Black LGBTQ plus speaker. There go that intersection, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
On the 12th day of Black History. A Catholic school in North Carolina is facing backlash after inviting a Black lesbian alumna to speak at a Black History Month event. We were just talking about how we have Black historic figures that we learn about them in Black history, but we don't even learn about them being having any level of queerness, any level of anything sexually. We don't learn shit about them.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's not, now if they're straight, that's different. Like, right. We all learned about Coretta Scott King, you know, like, it's only when it's some shit where it's like, it's a little too gay, let's not teach the kids this chapter, let's skip over that. But you can't avoid real life.
Nope.
According to the Herald Sun, Friday's Immaculata Catholic school canceled classes after school officials were made aware that a number of groups were planning to protest a talk given by Durham Councilwoman Vernetta Alston. They had to cancel class. Is that what the biggest one? Y'all won?
Yeah, and the thing is,
now your kids ain't in school?
I guarantee you, it wasn't the fucking children. I guarantee you it was.
It said it was groups outside the kids. Yeah.
Okay,
not the kids.
Right. And that's the thing. The kids were probably fine.
Yeah.
The outside groups, it was like, we're going to disrupt the children's fucking school day. Y'all don't belong here. Why are you here?
Father Christopher Van Haight, pastor of Immaculata Conception Catholic Church, told parents in a letter that in the interest of the student safety, both classes in the scheduled event were canceled. However, Councilwoman Alston says the school's move sends the wrong message about how easily Black voices can be silenced. And gay voices. And shout out to them in the first place for inviting her. Because I know that we associate a lot of religion in America with being oppressive for gay people. And being like, we don't want that shit at our school. And here you have a Catholic school extending their hand to be like, no, come speak about Blackness. Come speak about, you know, being gay.
Former student there.
Yeah, like, we're proud of you. Come address us. And then you got parents and other groups that have no interest for the kids in mind.
Because
they think if we can teach them that these people don't exist, then therefore they won't be gay. They won't turn into one of these people.
They don't know that's not how it works.
As if that's how you turned straight. Right? You know what I mean? As if that was the thing that made you go, oh yeah, I like girls or boys, was I just saw somebody else do it and I was like a duck, you know, when it bonds with its mother upon coming out the shell. Like, that's not how any of that fucking works. And then the other thing is that if they're, what straight people are so deathly afraid of when it comes to this is a truth that some people say it mockingly or pejoratively, but it is a truth. They're afraid their kids will quote unquote turn gay. And what they really mean by that is, I'm afraid my kid will see someone else living a great life, unafraid, and being their authentic self, and go, I want that. Why can't I have that too? What's wrong with that? And that's what they're so fucking afraid. That's why they don't want you to see it. They're just like, no, keep it away from my kids. Kid might fuck around, see a commercial, now they want to be gay.
Right.
Like, your kids already fucking gay. They just don't want, you just are so scared they're gonna do it around you to be themselves. You rather them be miserable so you can pretend to be happy, and you miserable too. Anyway, the church, by depriving the students of Immaculata of the chance of to honor Black history, and in doing so condemning the lives and rights of the LGBTQ community, Austin said, it's sending a sad, regressive, and life-altering message to our children, that the voices and experiences of those within the Black community can be canceled, and that inclusion is not valued by some who are charged with shaping their character. I reject that message. In 2017, Councilwoman Vernetta Austin was one of six openly LGBTQ candidates elected to office in North Carolina. Immaculata's African American Heritage Committee, which organized the school's Black History Month program, agrees that canceling the whole event over a few people's opinion was not the right move. Yeah. Yeah, someone in the chat said she went anyway, but it doesn't sound like, did she go another day or something? Because it don't sound like she did. The public story is centered on the cancellation of all school classes and activities on Friday in light of protest threats made by outside religious extremists. They explained in a statement, while the safety of our students is paramount, that focus is misplaced. The real issue here is the decision to cancel the speaking engagements of an accomplished, well-respected local Black female teacher. Daniel Sutton, a member of the school's African American Heritage Committee, made clear that Immaculata is a welcoming, worthwhile school, and the hope is to have a conversation with church officials to eventually re-invite the councilwoman. Well, I hope they do re-invite her. And shame on those motherfuckers that would threaten the lives of children. Cause that's what you did.
Yes, you did.
If you threatening the fucking kids. She was the only person gonna be in the gym. You threatened every child that had to cancel fucking school. That's how strong bigotry is. And y'all want me to think it's impossible for Jussie Smollett to have been gotten hit with a hate crime? Anyway, that's a whole nother bag of shit. Let's see what else happened. New York City Councilman Ruben Diaz has made an apology. Wait, no. It's being asked to apologize for some anti-gay remarks he made. Diaz, long known for his homophobia, and the city council said that the city council is controlled by a homosexual community.
What? That doesn't make any sense. That statement don't make sense.
New York City, huh?
New York City.
Huh. New York City Council Member Ruben Diaz Sr., a longtime outspoken homophobe, is facing calls for an apology and even resignation after saying the city is controlled by the homosexual community. Diaz, a former state senator, made the remark last week on the Spanish language radio program. When I get to the city council, I find that the city council is controlled. Most council members are out of 51 council members over there. Everybody is controlled by the homosexual community, he said. He also said the council speaker Corey Johnson is a gay man married to another man. A comment coming from Diaz is not a positive one. Johnson is gay, by the way, but he is single. Diaz has sparred with Johnson over committee appointments. Johnson has demanded an apology from Diaz, a Pentecostal minister from the Bronx, who was elected to the city council in 2017 after a long tenure in the New York Senate, where he was well known for his opposition to marriage equality. Diaz was one of the few Democrats to take such a stand. Oh, he's still a Democrat. No, that actually makes sense that he could get elected, because I told you, the difference between a lot of fucking brown people, Black and brown people, is that if you could get rid of the racism shit, they'd sign right up for being a Republican.
Of course.
And I'm not shocked that a Democrat who's anti-gay would be able to have a stranglehold over a area of even New York City, because it's like, well, he only against gay people. I mean, shit. Why would I care? Idiots. The council's LGBT caucus and women's caucus released a joint statement calling for his resignation. But is he gonna resign? Because motherfuckers like this don't even feel bad. Like, it's a difference. listen, I'm not saying it's okay what Ralph Northam did or anybody in the blackface scandals and shit, but there's a difference between a motherfucker feeling sorry for what they did and trying to wanting to make it right, and a motherfucker being like, I just don't give a fuck. And a lot of people don't understand there is a value to one that is and a not value to another. You know, people put way too much emphasis on not accepting any apology whatsoever.
Right.
And that's fine for the internet. That I get that that's what people are going to do and individually whatever. There's a lot of emphasis on doing that, but there's not a lot of actual power in that. And one of the things I have noticed too, one of the funniest things is it's a lot of the people that claim they want to see people be restored. They want to see people be able to like come back and contribute to society. They want to see people be forgiven. They want to see people be allowed to move on. That are the most unforgiving ass niggas on the planet. When somebody fuck up, it is trash, cancel time, fuck them forever. Anytime it comes back up, we bring they name come up, we bringing it back up. They do anything good, we bringing up the time they didn't do good. Like there's something to that that is a disconnect for a lot of people, and it makes it feel like it's more about power and more about boundaries than it is about any level of like recidivism or restoration or any of that shit. But the main point is you can't do anything with a nigga like this, and the only thing you can do is vote his ass out.
That's it.
Galvanize the people to be like, we won't elect him again, because he will never feel sorry for this shit.
Mm-mm, he will not resign.
He's okay with this. He's okay with gay people not liking him because he don't like gay people. There's a difference. Some people feel bad and there's a like, how do I fix this?
Correct.
Tell me what to do. Help me to use this position I'm in to do more for everybody, not just me, but for all the people watching. Let me be an example if I need to be. And we as a society haven't really got there yet, because all the people that are like super woke about like these really fucked up offensive things that people do, for the most part they're one and done with these people, you know. And I've raised the issue on the show before, and I never want to sound like I'm caping for these motherfuckers, but there has to be some discussion about what happens, how do people come back,
right?
You know, nobody wants to talk about it because we're not really there yet. We're not even at the part where people got to leave all the time. But there has to be some consideration at a point if you really give a fuck. If you're the same person that says when someone commits a crime, they shouldn't just be like out of society. They can't get a job. They can't hold office. They can't vote. They can't. We say we don't fuck with that. But yet when it comes to like pop culture shit, we absolutely intend to make that the way it is on certain sides of the fence. I'm not saying it's like that for everybody. I actually think the majority of people are more reasonable and like, nah, at some point this person's gonna come back.
Right.
But there's a hardcore contingent of people that call for people's heads, and then there's no other plan. There's no backup plan. It's basically the social death penalty for people, right? But when it comes to stuff like this, this is a guy that needs a social death penalty. Cause he don't give a fuck. You know what I mean? A guy like Ralph Northam is fucking he just said that he wants to sign a bill that will actually, I think he did it, that will let inmates, people who've been incarcerated in Virginia, vote again. And I said, we got him. Like, as black people, I was like, we got this nigga. I hope he don't never resign, because we got this motherfucker now. I know that sounds fucked up, but it's true. Ralph Northam says he's restored voting rights for 10,000 former felons.
10,000 people, y'all.
Today.
10,000 people can vote. It's over not a blackface scandal.
It's not funny, but it is.
It took blackface for me to get the right to vote. If I'm in jail, fuck it.
Oh, shit.
If I'm in jail, I don't give a damn what he did. We free. So that's a whole different thing. But if I'm in jail, I'm like, bitch, yes.
It's not funny, but it is.
I feel you, though.
Like,
I don't care how I got my right to vote. Bitch, I'm voting.
Nigga, I'm fitting to Photoshop blackface on all these white politicians. We getting freedom, okay? We will be free by the end of the year.
Yeah, we gonna get freedom by blackface, by moonwalk. We don't care how we get there.
Just This shit is so stupid, but it's so good. Oh my god, dude. Anyway, my point being, there's a difference. There's some nuance to this shit. Diaz just gotta go. And he ain't gonna resign.
Mm-mm.
You're gonna have to fight him to get him out of his seat.
Right.
And the fact that he's a Democrat, this is why, and, you know, I understand that there's people that feel a certain way about her. Let me just tell y'all right now, I don't give a fuck. Okay? I think people are a little too distrusting of women politicians in all the ways that they claim to be skeptical of. I'm skeptical of everybody. It seems most pronounced when it's a woman candidate. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Justice Democrats, they ain't wrong.
No, they not.
They not wrong. And if you living righteous, and if you governing righteous, you really don't have nothing to be afraid of with them. How about that? Like, primary this motherfucker. Find a way to get him out of office. Y'all opposed to that? He's supposed to be a Democrat and he fucking anti-marriage equality? We supposed to be cool with this?
Right.
He gotta go. Fuck him. I don't care. That's why I keep trying to tell people, it's not loyalty to the Democratic Party that black people have. It's loyalty to survival. That's it.
Right.
All these niggas can go if you can find somebody better. That's it. Find somebody better with a chance to win and this nigga can go too. There's not a single one of these motherfuckers.
This irreplaceable, that
I
feel, right.
Right. Not a single one. I don't care if they can dance, sing, they got a good Instagram. Mm-hmm. I don't give a fuck.
Don't care.
They can all get the fuck. So yeah, I primary this nigga. That don't make him on our side because he a Democrat. So he gonna vote with us on some other shit. Oh, nah, I'm cool. You know, we need to get this minimum wage up. Dog, what about the gay shit though, bro? What's up with
right.
that? Why can't you let that go? You know we off that, right? Nah, I mean, here we go. The gay people controlling you. Okay, let's just primary this nigga. All right then, bro. Good luck at home. Good luck with your being a pastor. Get the fuck out of my face. The Trump administration fires all members of the HIV/AIDS Advisory Council.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Pence brought HIV back in Indiana.
Bringing it back.
He canceled all the, he stopped all the programs to stop needle sharing,
mm-hmm.
which immediately caused a skyrocket in HIV/AIDS.
Of course.
You know Trump don't give a fuck. He's atheistic. Quote unquote, what it comes to this, he's not a believer in any of these Republican platforms. He just does whatever the fuck he thinks people want to see him do that'll make him feel more popular and all this shit. And this is something I'm sure Mike Pence, who I think is worse than Trump, has been campaigning for from day one. It's the reason he signed on to Trump's administration is how do we fucking make gay people feel oppressed even more? How do we make trans people feel oppressed even more? How do we basically put our fucking foot on their throats and make them feel like this is not a safe place for them in this country, even less safe than it was before? And these are the things. So yeah, I'm not surprised he would do that because he's a piece of shit. And this is something that, like, while it affects everybody, we know it disproportionately affects the gay community and black and brown people.
Yes.
So tell me, are those two groups that, I don't know, feel safe in this country since 2016 election? Safer or less safe? What do you think? Right. I would say less safe. Now, I'm not saying there ever was great or ever was safe. I'll say there are some people that are specifically intended to not be allies to anybody ever at any time.
Right.
They would be the opposite of allies. They are enemies. You know, you can have somebody as an ally. They don't, like I said, with Northam, they fuck up and there's leverage there. And there's, you know, there's, we'll see how it works out. If they get defensive, if they work with you, if there's, restoration or not, these motherfuckers don't care. They can only be gone. It's the only thing that can help. You know, that's why the impeachment shit don't really matter if it's just Trump. It don't matter.
Nope.
You know, I know that's white people's favorite, like, get out of jail free card is waving around that Mueller gonna get him. Unless he get everybody, then we just, it's just another Republican that believes the same shit Trump does but says it a different way. Mm-mm. They gotta go, baby. They gotta go. All right, let's see, let's move on to some fucking with black people, guys. Sorry I didn't have a happy note. I should have saved the Canada one for last, huh? My mistake. Oh wait, sorry, I meant to hit this.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the world and finds different articles make us feel fucked with and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. I already said Northam and that letting them 10,000 people vote. He also wants to go on a listening tour about race amid the blackface scandal. I love this idea. Now, I wouldn't go to a single event, I'll tell you right now. He don't know what he signed himself up for. Mm-hmm. Boy, ooh.
He out here, baby, I'm begging, baby, I'm begging, begging, baby.
Listen,
honey, that's his tour right now.
I do not want to be at this shit because I know the long-windedness ass niggas are gonna take that mic for a question that's gonna end up being an answer that's gonna end up being 10 minutes and we all got to listen to their whole story.
You're gonna have to learn. Everybody gonna have to be a 2 to 5 minute time. Nope, 2 minutes, because you get 5, that's too long. Two minutes.
Nothing says he doesn't know black people like him setting up this tour.
Come on, y'all know y'all done been at funerals or testimony service and somebody had to grab the mic and be like, look. Mm-hmm. This person dead, the family want to get out of here, y'all. Everybody get 2 minutes or less. We will turn off the mic.
It's about to be ugly. Just old black people telling stories of slavery and shit.
Come on.
People talking about how they love Michael Jackson and how could you do that. People gonna ask to see that moonwalk.
Yes, he don't know how we get down.
This a mistake. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It'll turn into a church service, a choir pop up, the keyboard to come out the floor. He won't know what's happening up in there.
As Virginia Governor Ralph Northam continues to resist the calls to step down over the racist photo of his medical school yearbook page, he and his advisors are close to finalizing plans for a statewide listening tour to engage different communities in conversation about race. Additionally, a source close to the governor said Northam is telling people privately that if the Commonwealth legislator puts a bill on his desk that provides the authority to bring down Confederate statues, he will sign it.
What?
You heard me.
Is he welcome to the cookout? What is Charlottesville
in Charlottesville, Virginia, Karen, the home of the motherfucking cookout. Apparently. I see you, Playboy. Gonna kick that leg up, do that spin, and moonwalk on over to the grill. Get you a plate.
Come on now.
You know, you just left my uncle out of prison the other day. Thank you.
Hey, my aunt can vote now. Yes.
We going to the polls together.
Yes. I'm Reggie and Poopy to vote tomorrow.
Hey, you know you can only run for one term, so it ain't like we're going to be voting for your ass.
Nope. That's a fact. Ain't holding nothing back.
Oh, she's a brat. Oh, whoa, whoa, hold up. Fairfax, what you doing here? Now, you know your ass ain't supposed to be at the cookout. Come on now.
You got to go.
It's women up in here, and we are not with the bullshit.
We are not with the, we'll take the blackface, but you got to go.
You can get a to-go plate delivered by a man from Grubhub, okay? We will actually leave it by the corner, and you can come pick it up by your mailbox. Yeah.
You need to beat it.
Now go and get the hell out of here.
You done interrupted the party.
Now go and get the fuck out of here.
Beat it.
Back to you, Ralph. Go ahead and get down.
Show us that 2-step. Come on.
Oh, he hitting it. He hitting it.
Oh, you see that spin down? Yes.
He on the tiptoes.
Yes.
I see you, Ralph.
I see you over there dancing with Big Auntie.
Oh, this is far. This is far right here.
Come on. Come on. Get it, Grandma. Get it, Grandma. Yes. Come on.
He gonna be dancing with all the aunties.
All the aunties.
Trying to take down Confederate statues in Virginia, the home of the capital of the Confederacy. What? My God.
Come on.
My God. This motherfucker.
He gonna fuck around and make your aunt sweat out her perm.
We had to get reparations. I'm moving to Virginia. I'm moving to Virginia. Them niggas finna get reparations.
He said a commonwealth ain't gonna be coming no more.
God damn, North of his pieces.
Somebody else need to do black, to fuck up with blackface so we can get some more laws changed.
You know what this is, Karen? You know what this is? They got blackmail. This is blackface mail.
Come
okay?
on, blackface mail.
We done blackface mailed this man. We we got him here writing all kinds of executive orders. They're gonna have to undo all this shit.
Yes, they gonna fuck around and say they gonna be like, he was just letting niggas out of jail. We don't know what happened. He went to the jailhouse, opened up the door, and just told all the niggas to leave. We don't know what's happening over here.
Republicans gonna win. Republicans gonna win next time because he doing too much for black people. This shit about to be worse than after Obama, boy.
And you know what? When we benefit, everybody benefit. He gonna fuck around and tell them ISIS people, stop that ISIS shit.
He done did too much. Oh my God. Oh, thank you, Ralph Northam. Good job.
Come on.
Way to put that pressure on them, y'all.
Come on. They're going to walk in his office. It's going to be a big ass party for the black people. They ain't going to know what's happening in his office.
When allies fuck up too bad and they got to fix it.
Come on. He trying to fix everything.
He trying to fix that blackface.
He is like, I am sorry, y'all.
And he still can't.
Please forgive me.
And he still can't.
No, he can't never fix it now.
No, I was going to say he can't never fix it. But it don't matter because he's going to try. And that's all I care about. I don't care.
I'm benefit from the fucking up and you trying.
Oh, my God. I wish we could put fucking fake blackface on everybody.
And the fucked up part, this is what people claim they want. They want people to realize they fucked up and fix it.
Well, what's funny to me is that he just feels under pressure.
Right.
Because the actual polls in the state show that it's not that bad. Like, I want to say it's like 50-50 people saying he should resign, because you got to remember, people live there.
Right.
Everybody outside of Virginia, they don't have a vested interest in this. Like, you know how it is. When you black, you see blackface, and we like, he can go. That's as much as thought as it for most of us. Like, fuck him, he can go. Now, I don't live there. Easy for me to say. Now, if it means he got to go, then Fairfax got to go, and then now Republicans in charge of my state. Well, hold up. Maybe I don't want this guy to go just yet. Mm-mm. I need to figure out a contingency plan for somebody else to take his spot that's not a Republican, right?
Come on.
So I can understand why black voters would be more divided in Virginia than, say, the United States. You know, that being said, this has only been 48 hours since he said he didn't want to resign.
Come on, he about to undo the voter suppression and everything.
Like, what the fuck is Friday gonna be? Like, what the fuck? What is his plan? Is he just gonna keep doing everything black people ask him to do every day? By the end, it's just gonna be like the wokest of the woke black people talking to him. He gonna be out here like, and that's why I'm ending all incarceration in the state. I'm letting everybody go that's black. Reparations will be happening. Look in the mail. Monday morning checks will be going out.
Come on, overnight. And everybody working overtime to get them done.
And I would just like to hit a little bit of a moonwalk for y'all. Just so don't leave the office just yet. So, man, who knew this is all we needed?
Come on.
I'm about to start looking through everybody's yearbook.
Right?
It's time, okay? It's time.
I was a yearbook editor, y'all. There's a lot of work. And believe you me, somebody's seen all these black faces, because it's a long-ass process.
It's time for us to get free, okay?
By any means necessary, and I will take blackface to get there.
An Alabama church removes pews honoring a Confederate president.
Why do you got pews
home
in the first place?
Karen, in the bottom right corner of your computer screen, can you do me a favor? What date does that say down there?
2/12/2019.
So it says 2019 on yours too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just checking. An Alabama church has removed a pew honoring Confederate President Jefferson Davis, saying the memorial had no place at a time when rebel symbols had been adopted by white supremacists. Now, the thing is, It was dedicated more than 90 years ago.
Oh, you don't say.
The early 1900s. And it was done at a service featuring pro-lynching segregationist.
What?
So I don't think they were confused about why they put that in there. You see what I'm saying? I don't think it was 2019 they woke up and was like, wait, the alt-right like the Confederates? It sounds like in 1910, when y'all fucking dedicated this shit, y'all was like, you know, we hate niggers. And I think this pew speaks volumes. And then somehow 2019, they said, what? You are telling me that this pew right here is for a goddamn Confederate man that hated blacks? I don't know about that.
My grandma selling this pew for years.
It's not that Jefferson Davis hated the blacks as much as it's just that these new fangled neo supremacists, they hate the blacks. Okay, so like, we don't want to be cool with them. We were cool with everybody before they started calling themselves alt-right. Okay, we were cool with that.
We were cool until Trump became to get in office and he made racism not cool no more.
I know this church ain't got no black members.
Come on!
I know they. Ooh, no.
You know, everybody in town say, don't go there.
Like, there's no way they got black people in their church. I wonder how I got out.
Probably may not in the town.
One of their kids accidentally got woke.
Somebody asked about it. I guarantee you somebody asked. Like I said, somebody kid got woke and was like, you know what that name is, grandma? Somebody was like, oh, get this shit out of here.
That's interesting.
I guarantee you took somebody of a younger generation to be like, that's it. Ooh, the ghetto. Shout out to the woke white folk, because somebody was like, hey, some new member came to the town and was like, what the hell is this on this chair?
I wonder who noticed. That's all. I'm not sure what the story is, but somebody had to not be with it. So
somebody went with the shits.
Yeah, after learning of the pew's history at a recent planning retreat, church leaders discussed it and then voted to remove the pew from the sanctuary and place it in the church archive. So it's still going to the archive.
After learning, how old are y'all? 5? After learning.
Oh, here's the thing. I really want to know how it came to their attention, because bet it could have been some black people. You know, there's people in churches that are black that have to fight for racial equality within their church. So I could see it being some black people. I also could see it being, you know, like I said, a white person that was like, hey y'all, what the fuck, Confederate monuments getting burned and getting taken down and we got one in our church? Confederate monuments and symbols have increasingly been used by groups that promote white supremacy and are now to many people of all races, see,
no,
read white people, i.e. white people, seen to represent insensitivity, hatred, and even evil to many people of all races. Nigga, it's been like that for us. Welcome to the party, pal. You late.
For all races. Who are these black and brown people hopping on the other side?
Right. The mission of our parish is diametrically opposed to what these symbols have come to mean. It's actually the opposite. Your mission is now diametrically opposed to what them symbols have always meant. The mostly white church in Montgomery, mostly, where Davis lived briefly before the Confederacy moved its national capital in Richmond, Virginia in 1861. Church lore maintained that a pew marked with a bronze plaque honoring Davis dated to the start of the Civil War. The pew actually wasn't installed until decades after the war, when whites were trying to maintain control in the South. Tennessee writer John Trotwood Moore, who supported segregation and opposed anti-lynching law, spoke at the dedication service in 1925. Fuck out of my face with this. We didn't know shit.
Oh, yeah, they knew. Yeah.
Apparently, the Confederate flag and soldiers and lynching is quite divisive. I seen it on the news tonight. I think it was Dan Rather. He was saying that he was saying Mexicans need to assimilate, and this is kind of this right here is a little racially charged. At St. John Episcopal Online History says the congregation dates back to the 1830s. Southern churches that supported secession by slaveholding states met at the congregation's former building in 1861, and the current church was built after the war ended. Yeah, probably because when they went to the South, fucking Sherman fucked that shit up or something.
Come on.
Grant was up there like, burn this motherfucker down
to the ground.
Fire. I fucked with that white man, a drunk that was fucking the South up. Let's get free. An ally. Can Ulysses at, can Ulysses come to the cookout, y'all? My wokes. Cause I know y'all hate my cookout invites cause I invite too many white people. But let's be fair. Y'all canceled all the black people. They can't come. So can Ulysses, can Grant come to the cookout? Cause I feel like he deserved. He like the original cookout invitee, right? If y'all don't know what I'm talking about, look up some, a little bit of history. Go to his Wiki page. That nigga was drunk and won the Civil War. He was like, hold my beer, literally. And went and was like, nah, man, burn all this shit. The other white Jews was all like, man, you know, we gotta be careful, you know, these white people in the land and all, I mean, they are citizens. He was like, fuck them, fuck this, fuck they war, fuck these, fuck they armies, fuck they property, fuck everything. Burn this shit down till they broke and poor. And maybe he did too good a job. Maybe that's why we only had 8 years of that's why we only had 8 years of non-racism in the South and Reconstruction, because they was like, this nigga kicked their ass too bad. Now we feel sorry for him. But I fucks with that man. That's what it took to get us free.
Fuck, come on now.
Everybody talk about Lincoln. Get off Lincoln dick and read a book. Ulysses can come to the cookout. I'm declaring it. Anyway. 0 to 100 on this church pew.
Oh, 100. Fuck them.
Yeah, I gotta give them 100.
For the fact that they didn't destroy it.
And the fact they lying like they just, what? This racist?
Nobody knew.
Damn, all this time.
We, nobody knew. The historian didn't even know, which job is to know the history, didn't even know that, the, you know, was a person that was pro-religion. Get out of here.
So next you gonna tell me that this, I know you're not gonna say that our rope necktie hanging ornament, you're not gonna say that's something racist too, are you? The one hanging over by the door? noose? What? Yeah, fuck out of here.
Come on.
All right, let's go to some guess the race. All right, we've had some fun with fucking with black people. It's not gonna get much better than that. Mm-hmm. My guess is. Where is my music? Boom.
Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time. Now that it's time for some Guess the Race. That's right, it's Guess the Race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe. We answer contestants today, being Karen in the chat room to guess the race. And of course everybody playing is racist. Also, in case y'all were wondering, there were more blackface stories today. I just didn't cover them. It's still Blackface History Month. I don't know what the fuck.
Yes, it is.
A man batters his girlfriend with a burrito.
From where? I hope not Cordoba's.
For the second time in as many weeks, a Florida man has been arrested for battering a woman with a burrito. Police charged that Peter Ilacqua, 41, got into an argument with his girlfriend Friday. After Ilacqua allegedly shoved the woman into a chair in the bedroom and threw his burrito at the victim, striking her in the face with the food item. When a sheriff's deputy arrived at the home in response to a 911 call, the contents of the burrito were dispersed across her face, neck, and left chest shoulder area. He fled the area before the cops could arrive, and he refused to return home when contacted on his cell. He subsequently turned his phone off, and no further contact was made. Police eventually caught up with him yesterday afternoon and arrested him on a misdemeanor domestic battery charge. He was booked into the county jail in advance of a court hearing today. Alequa's rap sheet includes prior arrests for cocaine possession, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, methamphetamine possession, domestic battery, violating probation and possession of drug paraphernalia.
Holy shit.
Say what?
No, I'm just saying, you're going down a rap list.
Guess the race.
What's his name again?
His name is Peter Alequa.
It's Spanish.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Made her washed out a burrito with water from his back. Oh, all the damn food on people violence got to stop. Tortilla white. Not corn tortilla. You had me at meth white. They gonna toss his ass over the wall with Latinx living the living la vida extra guac Cuban Latinx white Latino yo keto Taco Bell Latinx white passing Latino. That's a painful way to get your man to share his burrito Latino. Kisses his dog in the mouth while eating his burrito white spicy Latino and wasting food and a woman beater white man. The correct answer is, and Karen, you and all the people that went like Latinx, Spanish, you know what, y'all got it right.
Yes. Any tissue over there?
Some of y'all did get it wrong. I will share it on my screen so y'all can see. Like, he does have that white passing Latinx thing going for himself, you know. Like, I can see people going white on this as well, but I gotta give it Latinx, man. I'm sorry, guys. Latinx.
That last name.
You see the picture?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did that.
Yeah.
Did I say I'm a ninja?
Yeah. I'm a ninja. You can't see me. That's what the shirt says. Mm. Yeah.
I'm sorry, sir. They can and they caught you.
Yeah, I think once you throw a burrito at somebody in your relationship, it's a wrap.
I would agree.
Look like he really spilled the beans.
That's good.
I know these jokes are corny. let's go to the next one. How about a Tennessee man died of a meth overdose before being eaten by a bear at a national park.
Well, damn.
Yeah. 6 million ways to die. Chose two.
Well, that bear got high out there, that snack.
Yeah. A man whose body was discovered partially eaten by a bear in the Great Smoky Mountains. I guess he was up there getting smoky.
Mm-hmm. Ain't that in North Carolina, Smoky Mountains?
I think the Smoky Mountains might be through a lot of states.
Okay. I don't know. Like, it's a long chain.
I think
okay.
Like Tennessee.
Yes.
According to an autopsy released on Monday, the remains of William Lee Hill Jr., 30 of Louisville, Tennessee, were discovered in the national park in September when officials encountered a bear feeding on the body in the area of the trail. Without knowing the exact cause of death, park officials and wildlife professionals decided to euthanize the bear a few days later for public safety reasons because they thought he might have just killed him.
Right.
But on Monday, they revealed that he actually died of an accidental methamphetamine intoxication, so he overdosed, and they killed the bear for no reason.
They wouldn't have known.
Yeah, the bear didn't kill him. It just ate.
Walked up on him.
Yeah, the body was already dead. And they had to kill it anyway, just in case.
Right.
Hill had a history of drug use, and his body was found near syringes and other drug paraphernalia. What, they think the bear set it up to look like a suicide? What the fuck?
Right.
Clearly, this bear broke into the woods, put syringes all next to him to make it seem like...
The bear sprinkled some crack on him. What the fuck is this?
The 30-year-old had gone to the park with his friend Joshua David Morgan to legally remove ginseng from the park, but the pair became separated. Morgan, 31, died October 1st at a hospital in Tennessee, according to his obituary, which does not list the cause of death. To get ginseng? Like, you couldn't have stopped by a fucking...
Can't you get that from a store?
couldn't have stopped by GNC.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I know you can buy that somewhere.
I know. I was getting to the joke, but I know you had to tank it first. You had to give it a try. The old college try. Can't you get that from a store? Yes. Why? Yes, you can.
I couldn't remember the name of the store. I was about to fuck the name all the way up.
The 3-year-old 155-pound bear who was euthanized showed no signs of rabies. Officials estimate 1,500 bears in the park along with Tennessee-North Carolina border. There you go, Karen.
Okay, because I was like, I know I've heard it here.
And though few shows show aggressive behavior towards human, bears that pose a threat to visitor safety are euthanized on rare occasions. The park says attacks on humans are rare, but that people should stay at least 150 feet away from the animals. Bears are wild animals that are dangerous and unpredictable. Do not approach bears or allow them to approach you. Karen, guess the race of the man who was eaten by the bear.
That was all white.
All right, Karen's going with white. Let me check the chat room, see what you guys believe.
That's that ranger on Yogi and Boo Boo.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that ranger's name either.
Me either.
All right, let me see what you guys guessed. Wait, did I miss it? Here we go. When somebody white dies, somebody paying. That was a white ass death. The privileged dumbass druggie was a cover boy for Esquire White. Oh. Should have went to Whole Foods or Sprouts White. Doing meth in the woods to be closer to nature, but got eaten by nature instead. White. Can't get no closer than that. These are the bare necessities, white. Meth, a white national park, and he got a black bear killed, white. The bear was a nigga, but the man was a holistic cracker.
Aww.
Them crackers. White people's always putting themselves in danger. North Korea now in Yogi's house, white. Smith. Aww. Pale face, white man with meth flavored filling. Ha! This story is so white. Black people don't go into the woods or do meth. White, such a grisly death. White, the bear was black since they killed him on sight. No questions asked. But what method was white. Ranger Smith was white and white. The correct answer is Karen White. Oh, did I share my screen? Give me one second. I'll share my screen so y'all can see him as well. And yeah, he's a white dude. Like, he got a little black in him too though, but he white. But yep. Mm-hmm. Went out there fucking with meth trying to get some ginseng. Everything about that story was white as fuck.
Come on.
Mm-mm-mm.
You and the bodybuilders at the same store,
right? Right. All right, let's go to the final round. Are you ready?
Yes.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, double the points, double the race. So far, Karen is 2 for 2. Can she finish strongly with a 3 for 3 outing? I don't know. There's only one way to see, guys. Think you can do it?
I'm trying.
All right. A woman is arrested for allegedly making up a story about missing mom and baby for money. A North Carolina woman has been arrested for allegedly making up a story about a missing mother and her newborn in order to get two other people to send her money. The strange saga began Thursday when the Scotland County Sheriff's Office Criminal Investigative Unit asked via a Facebook post for the public's help in finding April Morrison and her baby girl, believed to be 2 or 3 weeks old. Authorities said they had notified the missing duo by an unidentified woman and her daughter. In a Facebook post Friday night, however, the sheriff's office said it had learned that the missing persons report was a hoax and that Morrison and her baby didn't exist. The department also said it had arrested Danila Missy Bethea for allegedly making up the story in order to get money from the woman from the woman and her daughter who had notified police about the missing mother and child. This is complicated. Initial reports of the disappearance led to a search by multiple agencies, including the FBI. Authorities said they were told that Morrison allegedly vanished from the nearby Richmond County area shortly after giving birth. Investigators said they were told that Morrison was either dead or had been forced to leave the area after giving birth, and that her daughter was in the care of someone else. During an investigation, the sheriff's office said the woman and her daughter, who reported Morrison missing, believed that Bethea was taking care of the baby and feared she would gain custody of the child. When Bethea was interviewed, she allegedly told deputies that Morrison was safe and that the baby was with someone else. Investigators say they later learned that Bethea made up the story to get the woman and her daughter to send her money. Wow. Upon further investigations, investigators determined that the statements provided by Bethea were allegedly false. April Morrison was a fictional character, and there was no infant child. Bethea is being held on a $100,000 secure bond at Scotland County Detention Center on multiple counts. Guess the race of Danila Missy Bethea.
Danila Missy Bethea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go white.
Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Danila Missy Bethea. Bethea race is. Mm-hmm. And Missy is her nickname, so I don't know if that helps at all. But Mitzia is her middle name, M-I-T-Z-I-A, and Missy is her nickname. All right. Okay. Let's go to the chat room. New from the hard to pronounce name, the child care saga, black. The governor of Virginia's political agenda. That's so white. White people stay abusing internet donations. They knew the new Ponzi scheme. White people be fake kidnapping white. A dingo ate my baby white. Police actually cared about her whereabouts and not because of a warrant. White. I'm confused. White. Lifetime movie original white. I feel like she's black. Catfish nursery rhymes edition white. Black. White passing Latina. This is a hot black mess. Black and white. The correct answer is she's black. Didn't you almost have it all, Karen?
Right, because I was going to change it.
Many of you went black. So yeah, she does not look like everything's going okay in her life.
Mm-mm.
In this picture. Like she's side eyeing herself even.
It does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to Sword Ratchetness. Sword Ratchetness, guys, where we talk about all the people that are out here with swords wilding and shit.
Mm-hmm.
A Kansas City area man is accused of stabbing his own father with a sword.
Oh.
Law enforcement authorities are investigating the suspect for alleged violent attack on a family member. On Wednesday evening, police were called to the residence, according to court records reported in a media release from police. Callers had informed police dispatch that 29-year-old Christopher J. Wilson had stabbed his father with a sword. The first officer on the scene encountered a man leaving the residence. He had a knife in his hand. The officer also observed a sword on the front porch. A woman inside yelled, "He stabbed him!" Police took Wilson into custody, and an older man was found in the kitchen on the floor with a pool of blood. Responding officers provided immediate care to the victim and applied tourniquets to stop the bleeding. The victim told police that his son, guess the race, white, pushed him to the floor and stabbed him, and the victim's wife also described the attack. Responding officers provided immediate care to the victim and applied tourniquets. We did this already. Jackson County Prosecutor Jean Peter Baker announced Thursday that Wilson faces assault first degree and armed criminal action charges. According to the release, he remains jailed on $50,000 bond. All right, guys, that's it. We will talk to you guys tomorrow for our Walking Dead recap. Mm-hmm. And if we have time, some white people news. but there will be wine no matter what happens.
Come on.
All right, guys, until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.